Somebody said out loud, I am
a doer
of the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, the Scripture warns us about being a hearer only. A hearer and not a doer. And you do have to be aware of that. Go to Psalm 34, if you would. Psalm 34. We live in what they call the information age, which is also the entertainment age. And you can get used to watching, listening, and then doing nothing with it. Just being informed, being entertained. Well, you should not treat the Word of God that way.
Right?
Phyllis was referring to this earlier. Everything you hear from the Lord, from His Word, you should be thinking, how do I apply this? How do I incorporate this into my life? What changes need to happen in order for this to be true in my life? So say it again, I'm not just a hearer.
I'm not just a hearer.
Hearer only, but by His grace, I am a doer,
of the Word of God.
Now, this is also the only people who get results. It's not just prayers who get results. It's not just people who study the Bible who get results. It's not just people that come to church or that hear messages, or to attend meetings. Are y'all with me now?
Yes.
This answers a lot of questions. People say, well, yeah, but I've been a Christian for 40 years, and I go to church all the time. Well, that doesn't make you a doer.
Right.
And you got to watch about having heard so much that you don't realize that you hear it, and you go, maybe you made notes. That still don't mean you're a doer, right? So somebody say it again, I'm a doer of the Word of God. In Psalm 34, we begin a couple of, it's been longer than, it's been a month ago, I guess now, on a new series that we're calling The Fear of the Lord. The Fear of the Lord, or The Fear of God. If you've spend any time in the Word, you've come across this phrase. And it's in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament. It's in numerous places. And it's something that some folks kind of avoid, and some people kind of think, well, yeah, but that's more for the Old Testament. That's not for us. I mean, we're not supposed to be afraid of God. You should be afraid to sin.
Amen.
Are y'all with me? You should be afraid of not judging yourself and not repenting and winding up being judged. You should. You know, if you're not going to do that, you're not going to repent, you should be scared. And if you out and out reject God, you should be terrified. What do you mean? Hell is real. Hell is real. And there's coming a time, according to the Scriptures, where there's going to be a judgment of all human beings. And not all people are going to be saved. In fact, it's a relatively small percentage. Not my words, not my idea. Now, there are people who don't like that. They really don't like that. And they go, no, how could a God who is love and who is good send people to a place of torment like hell? People say, I just can't accept that. Well, it doesn't matter what you believe or think about it. It's going to happen the way it's going to happen. It's either true or it's not. And here's the thing. God is not sending people to hell. They are sending themselves to hell. It's not His choice. He gave us the choice. And he will not force anyone to believe him or receive him or bow the knee. Amen. And if you won't, and if you go your whole life and you have thousands of opportunities and you won't do it, he's the only one who knows when a being gets to a place where they will never change. I don't know that. You don't know that. So we always treat people, as long as there's breath, there's hope. Right? We don't give up. We you know, another opportunity. But the Lord knows, and there's a point. You know, the devil himself, he will never repent. It wouldn't matter how many eons and how many millions of opportunities you gave him, he will not repent. So I don't want him living beside me. How about you? And sadly, there are millions of human beings that have sided with him. Against God. Well, then they get to be with him in the future. And that is horrifying. That is terrifying. And when we talk about the fear of God, some of these elements tie into it. If you have received Jesus as your Lord and you love God and you're walking in the light that you have, you got no reason to be afraid of your Father. He cares about you. Right? You don't want to be on the other side of him. Because he is not some religious idea that people have come up with. He is the creator of the universe.
Amen.
And his power is beyond imagination. And he, you know, there's another form of matter beside what, you know, the gas state and the solid state, and that is plasma. Yeah. And that's what the sun operates off of. And plasma won't even leave a greasy spot. Anybody know what I mean by that? If you get hit with a bolt of plasma, the temperature of the sun, it's just like, now you see them, now you don't. God has trillions upon trillions upon trillions of these stars that he has made. And the Bible said that the prophet that saw him in the scripture, that he was fire. From his loins down, his loins up, fire. So, you know, I've heard all these goofy things about what color is God? And, well, God's white. No, he ain't. Well, God's black. No, he ain't. God is fire colored. Huh? Fire. And fire depends on the temperature and the angle. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Of what you, when you see fire. But God is not a man. And when people say, you do, I think it's been in the news this week, right, about aliens. And is there life out there? You better believe it. You better believe there's life out there. The Bible's been talking about it for, you know, millennia. Oh, yeah. Angels are not human beings. They are not Terran. They are not earthlings. And the devil and his bunch. And there's a whole other, we don't know. There's a bunch of stuff going on in the way out beyond. And the Lord's told us enough what we need to know to get through our life on our planet that he made for us and gave to us.
Amen.
He actually gave the planet to human beings,
yes.
Which is why it's in a mess. And how do we get into all of that? But I'm just talking about how big God is and how great he is. He could, with a bolt of plasma from the sun, just evaporate our planet. And actually, We came close to being goners during Noah's time. He got fed up with the whole lot of humanity. And he was ready to just wipe us out and start over. Which he can do if he wants to. He's God. And the scripture says, but Noah found grace.
Hallelujah.
In the eyes of the Lord. So when you get to heaven and you see Noah.
Thank you.
You need to say. Brother Noah, thank you. Thank you, sir. Because me and you would have never existed.
Wow.
There would never been any humanity beyond him. But he found favor. Hallelujah. And mercy and grace in the eyes of God. And he saved him and his family. And at that point, there were only 8 human beings on the planet. 8. That's how close. Talk about an endangered species. That's how close. Human beings came to be no more. And why am I talking about this? We need to remind ourselves of who we're dealing with. Who we're praying to. Who we're talking to. I mean, his gravity is what keeps us from floating out into space. Huh? The light of the sun and the warmth of the sun is what's keeping us from being an ice cube. And all life, and have you ever looked at our, the atmosphere around the planet? Look at some of those pictures that are from the satellites. It looks like it's about that thin. That's the only thing keeping us from being burned to death by the sun. It's the only thing that helps us with anything to breathe. And the mixture just happens to be perfect for us.
Wow.
Because he made it for us.
Exactly right.
I said he made it for us.
Amen.
Then he gave it to us.
Yes.
But such a being as the Almighty should be revered.
Yes.
He should be respected.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Y'all with me on this or not? Such a God.
That's right.
Such a creator. Such a powerful one, such a wise one, should be held in the highest esteem, the highest regard that we know anything about and believe to express it higher. So everybody say it out loud. Father God,
I do revere you,
and I respect you,
who you are,
and what you are.
What you can do,
what you have done,
I ask you,
enlighten the eyes
of my heart,
my mind,
my understanding.
Reveal to me
who you are,
what you are,
how great you are,
how vast you are,
how good you are.
That I may honor you properly.
That I may speak of you
advisedly.
That I may know
how
to worship you
and serve you
well.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
So you're believing with me, right?
We're believing together.
For revelation on this thing
of the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
The fear of God.
What it is.
How we should have it.
In Psalm 34
and verse 7.
And there's
quite a lot of this in the book of Psalms.
There are numerous
references
to the fear of the Lord
and the fear of God
in the
150
Psalms that we have.
And this one,
Psalm 34, says
the angel of the Lord
encamps
round about who?
Those
that fear him. and he delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For there is no want to them that fear him. Now, man, this benefit alone is worth learning about this. Right? There is what?
No
want. That's the same word translated lack. No lack to them that fear him. Now, it's worthy of meditation to ask yourself the question, how could that be? And why would that be so? It's worthy of meditating on that. And not just while I'm preaching. You want to hear this right now. But I'm talking about later, you know, to just sit and think, why would that be true? It is true, he said it. And we won't get into that right this moment. But there's no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. That's the strongest of the strong. But they that seek the Lord, which is a companion of fearing the Lord, they shall not want any good thing. He says it again. Does God want you in lack?
No.
He does not. He wants you to respect him and reverence him and honor him. And then he wants you to not be in any kind of lack. Verse 11. Come, you children. Hearken to me. Listen to me. And I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's our text. So the fear of the Lord can be taught. And if it can be taught, it can be learned. Right? It can be understood. And it can be learned. And that's what this series is about. Look with me in Exodus, the 20th chapter, please. I'm so happy we can do this. Are you?
Hallelujah.
We're blessed, people. We are blessed. Got our own places. Got our own freedom.
Hallelujah.
You know, some friends of mine in another country years or two ago, they had been in a place for 20-some years, but they couldn't own their property, so they're always, you know, leasing it, renting it, and they just kicked them out one day. And now they're in the street and they got to try to find something else. Well, they found a place, but it really was not a good place. And how blessed are we to live in a country
Amen.
To where we got this kind of freedom
Amen.
And this kind of prosperity. And this is our place.
Amen.
We own it. It's paid for.
Hallelujah.
It's the Lord's place. It's your place and my place.
Amen.
And we can preach it here all day if we want to.
Hallelujah.
And we can run the aisles and we can shout, say hallelujah and pray for the sick and do whatever.
Hallelujah.
Not going to get kicked out. Not going to get told you can't do that. And we're blessed. I'm saying we're blessed. We are blessed. We're blessed. We are so blessed. In Exodus 20 is the giving of the Ten Commandments from the mountain. And we were just talking about God being fire. And he actually personally came down on this mountain himself. And the whole mountain was ablaze with fire. But it didn't burn it up. This is a strange fire. And this is what Moses saw, you know, what we call the burning bush. Well, the bush was blazing, but it wasn't being burned up. And this is God's, part of God's makeup. And of course, that's, you know, why he makes stars the way he does. Now, the power of a star is just, have you ever looked at the scale of our star, which is actually a small one, you know, relative to other ones in the galaxy, and looked at our planet. Here's the sun. There's a little blue marble over here. That's us. And if you magnify, kunk, 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 that's North America. Kunk, 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 kunk. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Somewhere on there is me and you. Hi. But the power of it. And the scripture says that God calls all of his stars by name. He has all of them named. And by his great power from his throne, they are all sustained. We're what, 90 million miles away from our star? Mm-hmm. And sometimes we think it's too hot. 90 million. So if you're 80 million, you're in trouble. Is that right?
Yeah.
And all of that heat is those, you know, atomic reactions and gravity. It's exploding out and gravity's pulling it back in. And exploding out and it's pulling it back in. It's just amazing what a dynamo it is. And all life on earth is the result of it. And that and all the other trillions of them came out of God. It came out of him.
Wow.
He spoke it into existence.
Jesus.
He conceived it inside himself. And he said it. Light be. And it erupted and it flamed and it coalesced and it exploded and wrapped around itself and just kept on and has been doing this for, they think, millions of years. And doesn't look worn out yet. This came out of him. You get to call him Papa.
Hallelujah.
Daddy. Father. And he acknowledges us and calls us his sons and daughters, his very own children. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, he came down on the mountain in this fire and gave them the Ten Commandments. And in these Ten Commandments, all ten of them, you will see the fear of God. In all ten. In fact, the first five and the second five have a different focus of the Ten Commandments. And I've referred to the first five as the honor ones, which there's overlap with honor and the fear of God. Part of the fear of God is honor. And you'll notice that sometimes you'll notice what something is by noticing when and where and how it's not. Most of this world has no fear of God, which is a sad thing. Sad for them. You can tell by one of the first ways you can tell where fear of God is and where it's not is by how people talk, how they speak, their words. In Exodus 20, let's go through some of these and you'll see what I'm talking about. Exodus 20, verse 1. Now, y'all with me on this first point? This is a big one. We just prayed, Lord, teach me about the fear of God. Here's one of the first big things to know about it. What's coming out of your mouth? This reveals you and me. And if we grow in this, that's one of the first things that's going to be affected. How we refer to something. How we talk about it. And the word honor includes the idea of heavy. Heavy, which is a, it's a term that describes cost or value. Because back in the day, when you went to buy something, you weighed out the precious metal.
Yes, yes.
Silver, gold, usually, if it was a big transaction. And so if it was really expensive, really valuable, you had to put a lot of weight on the other side of the scale to buy it. And so honor is heavy value, heavy worth, heavy cost. The opposite of heavy is what?
Light.
And we use this terminology today to treat lightly. Mm-hmm. Huh?
Yes.
To make light of. Mm-hmm. Right? Which means what? Oh, it's no big deal. It's just. Watch that word just. Mm-hmm. It's just this. Just that. Making light of it. And that's where we get the words that's over the top of our platform here. When the Lord said, "Them that honor me, I will honor. But those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." So lightly esteemed is the exact opposite of honor, which means greatly esteemed. And esteem is where we get our word estimate or value from. There's a word that the enemy has slandered where church people are concerned. It's the word precious. And there have been people, comedians, and all kind of things that have mocked church people. Isn't that precious? That is an ungodly thing, and it's a person who has no fear of God. Because the word precious is used in the scriptures to describe things like the precious blood
Amen.
Of the Lamb.
Yes.
Oh, come on, y'all with me.
Hallelujah.
Great and precious promises given to us. Come on, can you see this? So I want you and I to take this beautiful word, precious, and to get rid of the junk around it.
Amen, amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
And
yes.
Let it mean to us what it's supposed to mean.
Amen.
And use it in a right way and never some mocking way. Somebody say precious.
Precious.
What's a definition of precious? Extremely valuable.
Hallelujah.
Right? Very valuable. Heavy price cost, like precious stones, yeah. Precious jewels, yeah. Precious metals. Yeah. Well, those things don't compare in value to the precious blood.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Or the precious promises. So in Exodus 20 and 1, one, he said, the Lord spoke words. Now, you got to remember, 2 to 3 million people are at the base of this small mountain. And it is dark in the middle of the day. And there is this trumpet sound that is blasting beyond volume levels. And it just kept going and going and going and going. And the whole mountain is just roiling with blaze out of sight into the sky. And if you read even the book of Hebrews, it said they were scared. They were so scared. And the trumpet sound stopped. And God himself spoke these words that you and I are about to read. He spoke them right out of the fire. And for people today to make light of the Ten Commandments, do you see what we're talking about?
Yes.
Is to be a fool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody said, well, are we supposed to keep the Ten Commandments anymore? The Ten Commandments are right.
Amen.
And perfect.
Amen.
Forever.
Amen.
Always have been.
Yes.
Always will be.
Yes.
The thing is, today, instead of just trying to keep the commandment, if we will walk in faith and walk in love and be led by the Holy Spirit, He will lead you in line with every one of these. Come on, can you see this?
Yes.
And you'll be doing them without even realizing what you're doing.
Yes.
But it does not negate this in any way. How many think murder is still wrong?
Yes.
Lying is still wrong.
Yes.
Worshiping other gods still
wrong.
So no, this is to be honored and respected. I know a while back we, in our studio, if you've seen Faith School, you've seen our studio. It's like a classroom from the 40s, except we have self-writing electronic blackboards. Cool. And at one point, I looked around. We had, some of the things you would have seen in an American school classroom. And I thought, we don't have the Ten Commandments. That's not okay. And so we tried to find some, and they kept wanting to sell us these little bitty ones. I'm like, no. We had them custom made, big. And we got, was five on one side, five on the other. Huh? And people talk about, well, that's not for us nowadays. You don't know what you're talking about. No. No. This is the Word of God. God never changes. He doesn't need to. And when He revealed these things in every one, how many understand you could spend the rest of your life meditating on the first commandment? Right? And you're going to get light and truth. And there's no end to it. Because it's living Word of God. It came right out of the mouth of the Most High through the fire on the mountain. Somebody say, I respect that.
I respect that.
So what did he say? Keep reading it. He said, I am the Lord your God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. In doing that, he showed himself superior to every god they had. Now, we don't understand, but all of the plagues, for instance, the Nile being turned into blood. Well, that was one of their main gods. The crocodile head god of the Nile, because they got their water and their, crops and all that from the Nile. They worshiped that god. And God showed them he weren't no god at all.
Amen.
And nothing they could do to stop or protect their false god. And so with the flies and the locusts and all the way to the firstborn, all of those, God demonstrated that they were nothing. And they couldn't withstand him, and they couldn't protect them. And so that's when he gets to this point. You will have no other gods before me. Can you see the fear of God in this?
Yes.
See, if you would worship another god, what does that show? You have no fear of the real God. Can you see this? If you would put statues of other gods in your house and pray and fall down before these false images, then you're acting like the real God doesn't exist. You're acting like there's not going to be a judgment. You're acting like a fool. Because it's the fool, the scripture said, that has said in their heart, there is no God. And how many millions are saying that very thing in this year on this planet. So can you see the fear of the Lord in this? So somebody said out loud, I will have no other gods before the Lord my God. There's only one creator. There's only one God. Huh? The God of who created Adam and Eve and all of us. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is the one and only God who has ever been or ever will be. What about all these other religions? Wrong. False. See, I can't believe the Word of God and believe that too. I can't. Well, you need to be more tolerant. You're just narrow-minded and saved.
That's right.
There's a broad way that incorporates all beliefs, and it's going right off a precipice into destruction. Jesus said. But there's a narrow way and a straight way that leads to life and salvation. And Jesus said, I am the way,
amen,
the truth, the life. Nobody comes to the Father except by me.
Amen.
Now, you either believe that or you don't. I can't believe that and believe there are many ways to the same place. I can't believe that. If I embrace that, then I have no fear of God. I'm acting like he didn't say it. Or like it's not true, it's not real. Secondly, what's the next one? You'll make to you no graven image or likeness of anything that's in heaven above or in the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down yourself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Should they fear that? They should be terrified of that. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. That's me.
Yes.
Oh, come on. You going to join me on this or not?
Yes. Amen.
Let me hear you say it. That's me. That's me. That's me. I love him. And I do what he says. So see, I got no reason to fear judgment.
That's right.
Amen. Right?
Amen.
I got no reason to be afraid of God. That he's going to judge me, hurt me. But one of the reasons that I'm in the place that I'm in is because I do reverence and fear who he is, what he says.
Yes.
Amen.
Now, verse 3. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Now, is this speaking? Is this have something to do with how you saying something?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Taking the name of the Lord your God in vain. You don't just do that silently. That's saying something.
Right.
Now, we're all familiar with the curse words, using the word God and the word damn and those kind of things. But that is that, but that's not all of it.
Right.
That's not part of it.
Right.
He said using the name of the Lord your God, how?
In vain.
In vain. The phrase, oh my God, is also using the Lord's name in vain.
Yes.
Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Why? And, you know, people use the name Jesus. Jesus Christ. And they're saying it as a byword or a phrase of exclamation. Well, then, are they using it in a vain, empty way? Well, I don't know if you've read the scripture on this, but not long after he gave these, a young man did. He used the Lord's name slanderously and in vain. And so this is, I don't know, months after this was given. And so they called counsel and Moses said, well, put him in in jail, basically. And let me see what the Lord says. And the Lord said that they were to execute him.
Right.
And so he died for using the Lord's name in vain.
Mm.
Before the age of grace.
Mm.
Because that is what is just. Now, if you think that's too harsh, do you think you know better than God?
I don't think so.
You see what I'm saying? People act and talk the way they do because they have no fear of God. You're going to get in God's face and tell him that he shouldn't have told him to do that. See what I'm saying? We live in a generation that is too free with their mouth.
Amen.
Huh? And too quick to judge God. Well, that's not right. You're going to tell God. What's not right? See, you have no fear of God.
Right.
You don't know who you're talking to, who you're talking about, who you're dealing with. Y'all are quiet. Job actually said these things in the book of Job. He got upset at God. And he actually challenged God. He said, I'm going to paraphrase. It's 42 chapters. He said, I want an audience with God. I want to plead my case. I want him to know this is not right. He has not done right with me. You know, in allowing these things. Job didn't even know there was a devil.
Right, he did.
But he never expected God himself to show up in a whirlwind. And then he said, I'm again paraphrasing, who wants to talk to me? State your case. Make your case. Job said, He said, yeah, I opened my mouth one time, yeah, twice, but I'm going to put my hand on my mouth right now. And he said, I heard about you. But now I've seen you. He didn't actually see him. He just saw the whirlwind and heard the sound. He said, and I repent in dust and ashes. I mean, all of his arguments, he couldn't remember what they were.
Right.
He's like, just, oh God, oh God. Think about that. We're talking about the fear of God.
Right.
I know back in the late 80s, when we got that car, that Buick that we talk about, with the car, we got a trip to Hawaii, didn't we? We got a trip to Maui.
We got TWA
tickets. We got tickets. Yeah, TWA. Not even around anymore. And we'd never been anywhere. And we thought, yeah, Hawaii. And so we went to Maui. This had been in 87, maybe. Yeah, 1987. And so, beautiful, of course. And we went out on a boat and to watch, they're supposed to maybe see some whales. And we were, having a good time. Weather was perfect and everything. And all at once we heard this, whale blow spout. And there was one right beside us. And he came up and I thought, oh, Lord. You're like, we're too close. We are way too close to this thing. Because it's one thing to watch them on TV, right? And when you are, I don't know, we weren't that close, but it sure seemed, right? It would startle you. It just shocked you, like this mammoth creature. He could drown us and not even know he bumped us.
Right?
You know? How about the one who made him? Are y'all with me? How about the one who made him? That's what I'm talking about. When you talk about God lightly, tritely, and you even got this idea you're going to tell him he's wrong about something, or it means you don't know him. You don't know who you're talking to. And you don't have the fear of God, which is a revelation of who and what he is.
Mm-hmm.
There's been times in his presence that he manifested his presence stronger to me than at other times. And I remember one time I thought to myself, I feel like a pebble at the base of the Rocky Mountains. Do you know what I mean by that? I know he loves me. I know he cares about me. He is so big, so vast, so God.
Hallelujah.
And if you don't, if that's not real to you, you don't talk that way. And so to people who have some revelation of who he is, they would never use his name as a byword, much less some kind of curse or damning. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Not to just avoid cussing and do the religious thing. It's out of respect for him. And the psalmist said he has exalted his word above his name. So you should give the same reverence to his words. Is that right?
Yes.
To his name and his words. And that shouldn't shock us, because Jesus is the Word.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
Manifest in the flesh. And his is the name above every name.
Amen.
Which is the Word.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So when people make light of scriptures, and they make light of what God has said, you know right away, they have no fear of God. And when they bounce his name around, and is everybody clear on this common phrase, OMG?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
OMG, oh my God. That's not okay. Y'all in agreement with me? This is not okay. If you say God, if you say Jesus, you need to either be talking to them or about them. Anything else is empty vanity, using it as a byword for no reason, and it's a serious matter. Of all the things God could have said in the scope of human beings' experience and the multiple generations throughout the earth for all our time, he gives us 10. That's just some rain.
Right.
Which we could use some.
Yes.
Somebody say, thank you, Lord, for the rain. Thank you, Lord, for the rain. 10 things God put his finger on. And we, in every one of them, if you have any understanding, you respect it. You reverence. You go, right. There's only one God. No other false, no false God stuff in my house or around me. I never pray to any other God. I don't serve any other God. Right? So no images. No pictures, no statues. Mm-mm. And then you do not take his name in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Now the next one is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. He goes on to say, 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath, or the rest of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you nor your son nor your daughter nor your manservant or maidservant or cattle or stranger that's within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and did what? Hallowed it. Now this word hallow is directly connected to the fear of the Lord. Hallowed, to hallow something means to make it holy. And that it is set apart that it is special. The Lord's name is special.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
And holy. Remember what we call the Lord's Prayer. Tell me how it starts. Our Father, which art in heaven. There's that word. What do you mean, hallowed? Hallowed be your name, which means to make holy. It also means to venerate, which means you treat it as special. And that's what the Lord was saying about the Sabbath. He said it's a special day. It's a holy day. And so treat it that way. His name, His day, His self. When we talk about the fear of the Lord, we're talking about no one else has His place. My name, your name, no other human being's name is equal to His name. Right? And if He says this is a special day, then what do we say? Special day. Right? If He said this is a special thing, then we treat it that way. And to ignore it or to act like it doesn't matter means you don't have the fear of God. You're acting like God's not real. Like He didn't say it. Now keep going. That's the first four. Honor your father and your mother. Do you hear the word honor? Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. How many remember this is quoted in Ephesians?
Yes.
Applying it to the church. Right? So things like that should let you know, no, the Ten Commandments are not old stuff that's passed away.
Amen.
Ephesians, he's quoting it. And these scriptures are quoted all through the New Testament. Everybody say, honor your father and your mother. Many have not understood this. Now, other scripture talked about children obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is not exactly the same thing.
Yes, that's right.
Little ones should obey their parents.
Yes.
Obey.
Yes.
Is the right word.
Yes.
But when you're grown, He didn't just tell you obey your parents.
Come on. That's right.
Huh? He told you to what?
Honor
them. Yes. And here's what many have not understood. This has nothing to do with their performance.
Yes.
All right. Yep.
This has nothing to do with who they are or what they've done, except for God told you. Come on, y'all with me or not? He told you. Even if they're acting like heathens and trying to run your life or misguide you or whatever. They're human beings. They can make mistakes. You may not be able to honor and respect everything a person does, but you must honor the place that they have, or else you dishonor God. And what you're saying is, we talk God Himself, His name, His day, and here's His choice. I said His choice. You could have been born pre-air conditioning. You could ride an ox to work. I'm telling you. Most, humanity for thousands of years. No electricity, right? No automobiles, certainly no airplanes, none of this. I'm pretty happy to be alive in this time.
Amen.
Huh? It wasn't my choice. Huh? I didn't get to pick when I would be born. And I didn't get to pick who would carry me in their womb and who would father me. I didn't pick that. Y'all going to help me with this or not? I didn't pick that. You didn't pick that. But I'm going to honor God's choice. And maybe you had some bad experiences. I understand that. It could have been a lot worse. They could have killed you in the womb before you ever got started. Well, come on, y'all with me? I mean, there's any number of ways you could have been long gone before now. But especially parents, are a lot of people, the grandparents raised you. Or maybe they weren't blood relatives, but they were a mother to you. And they were a father to you. This should be honored. You in agreement with me? Not with me, with God. Huh? Everybody say, honor your father. Now, what's one of the big ways you show honor and you show the fear of the Lord? Are y'all with me? Your mouth. Not the only way, but how you refer to them. I mean, under the law, if you cursed your mama, you died. It was a sin punishable by death. You did not cuss your mama out. Or your daddy. And you did not raise a hand to your mother. You didn't dare slap your mother or punch your father. You would die. And God says that's how serious this is. He's showing how serious it is. And if you fear God, you will take it seriously. And if you've made mistakes, repent. Repent. And ask God for grace and wisdom to show you how. And I'm not saying it's always easy. I'm not saying that. There can be situations that can make it challenging. But remember this, you're not just doing it for them. You're doing it to the Lord.
Amen.
And before the Lord, because He told you.
Amen.
He told you to do it. I know Phyllis and I had the privilege of helping our spiritual father and mother, Brother Kenneth Hagin Sr. and Miss Aretha. And I know one time somebody asked me, they indicated to Phyllis and I something that they wanted or needed. And I mean, we were out the door and we were going, and they said, "Man, you moved." But he said, "Why? You must really love them." We do, but it's something bigger. Do y'all hear what I'm talking about? It's something bigger. We're not just doing it for them. We do love them and want to do something for them. But the Lord told us to help them and honor Him. So can you see, what am I talking about? The fear of the Lord. The reverence of the Lord. The respect of the Lord affects how you treat His people. Has a direct effect. He said, if you love me, you love those I've begotten. Right?
Yes.
And that is the New Testament commandment that He gave us. And again, this is not a feeling. You don't have to feel lovely towards somebody to act an act of love.
Thank you, Lord.
And refrain from an act of hate. So those, you see honor and the fear of God in every one of those. Let's look at the last ones, which are more directed to your fellow man. Somebody said, well, isn't honor your father and mother to your fellow man? Yeah, but it's more as his direct choice and representatives in your life. What we're saying, you're doing it more to him, even still. But then these last five are directly your fellow man, your neighbor, which is your nearby. You shall not kill. And this is more specifically murder. You shall not murder. And where would the fear of God be in this? Well, one is referencing His creation. Is that right? He made them too. And remembering that He is judge. And He said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, said the Lord. And that means hands off. I will deal with them. And if they understood that, they should be terrified. Because they'd rather deal with you. Even with your machine gun. They'd rather deal with you than him. I mean, the Bible says at the great white throne judgment and leading up to that, that people are going to cry out to the rocks to fall on them and cover them and hide them from the face of the one on the throne. I mean, Scripture said it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We don't know how happy we should be that we're not on that side. We're on the blessed side. We're in the family. Yes. Hallelujah. We don't have to fear that day.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
But people outside of God, they should be terrified of hell. They should be terrified. You know, you hear people mocking, I'd rather rule in hell than serve in heaven. And you're stupid. You have no clue what you're talking about. I assure you, if we could drop you in hell for about 2.5 minutes and then pull you out when you stopped screaming, we would say, how you feel about hell? They'd be like, show me the altar. Where's the altar? Show me the altar. I'm telling you, we're laughing, but this is... Hell is no joke.
Right. Amen.
And there are millions of people going there. There are scores of thousands of people will go to hell before this day is over.
Yes.
It's sad. And so if anybody will listen to you, you tell them. They don't have to.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
You tell them God loved them enough.
Yes.
To give Jesus, right?
That's right.
Yes.
If anybody listen to you.
Amen.
Thou shalt not kill. That's reverencing God and His creation and Him being judge. And you don't want to be, if He told you, don't take it into your own hands, and then you do it anyway, well, you're either going to repent or you're going to be in trouble.
That's right.
Yourself. You shall not commit adultery. The Bible said, what God has joined together, let no man separate. And if God joined them together, and that's their family, you want to respect that.
Right.
Y'all going to help me with this or not? You do not want to be something that the enemy has used to divide that marriage and divide that family.
Amen.
Hmm?
No,
somebody says, well, yeah, but we're in love. You should have never got to know them that well.
That's right.
Right? You should have never spent enough time with them to get that close to them.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
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 Hmm? I've been able to stay out of this myself as a man. And you know why? I don't hang out with ladies. I don't spend time with, I don't go to lunch with ladies that's not my wife. Are y'all with me? I don't spend hours huddled up counseling with ladies. And so if you never cross those early lines, you never get to a place where you're in love with them and y'all are knit together and all that. It should have never happened. Stay, like the Bible said concerning the wayward woman, said, don't go near the door of her house. If you don't go down the street, you never wind up in the bedroom. Right? You can't be in the bedroom and you never went down the street. Y'all gonna help me or not? What you're doing is you make it easy on yourself.
Amen.
You make it easy on yourself. You shall not commit adultery. The fear of God. Can you see how it would be a part of this?
Yes.
He told you, don't. Yep. He said he joined people together. You don't want to divide what he joined together.
That's right?
Can you see? Fear of God. Fear of God. Then he said, you shall not steal. Can you see the fear of God in this?
Yeah.
Why? Well, there's judgment that comes for stealing.
Yeah.
Right? And so, I say you stole something and now you got what you were lusting after. Yeah, but you're in trouble. Right? God's real. And if you don't repent, and part of repenting would be taking it back, so just don't go get it to start with. Can you see this? Just so. And the fear of God includes believing he is big enough and good enough. He will give me my own. I don't have to try to take something away from somebody else. God will give me my own. The right way. The right time. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Why? That's one reason you wouldn't do that. Because you know if you fear God, he sees everything. He hears everything. You're going to stand up there and lie? You might fool them. You didn't fool God. He knows. And so you're either going to be at odds with him and out. And if you don't judge yourself, you will be judged. So you're going to have to repent or either get judged. And so part of your repentance is he's likely to tell you, go and repent to them and tell everybody you lied. So it's just a lot easier. Don't do it to start. He's like, don't do it to start with. Right? But why do people do that? Why do people lie and steal? And no fear of God. No fear of God. And then finally, this goes right along with it. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, manservant, maidservant, ox, ass, or anything that is your neighbor's. This is what we've already talked about. Why can I be free? What if my neighbor got the house, the car, the type of spouse, whatever that I always thought I wanted? Why do I have to long for what they have? Is that the last one that was ever made or created? No. If God is real,
amen,
and God is powerful, and God is faithful and good, the psalmist said he satisfies the longing soul,
amen,
and he fills hungry hearts,
yes,
perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The fear of God says, I don't have to long after his stuff. I don't have to covet their stuff. God will give me my own.
Amen.
The right way. Nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing to be embarrassed. Nothing to hide. And I have gone over today.
All right. Good.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up, everybody.